Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. And our artist this week, Stephanie Bonneau of Atelier St. Clair. Though that's the Americanized version of a very beautiful business name. Stephanie, welcome.
Hi, Gary. Thank you for having me.
You're not hearing things. This is a second go-round with Stephanie. So the first one was October 18, where we got to learn about Stephanie and your career and how you developed and your business and so on and so forth. And we wanted to get into your work in the fashion world, but there was just not going to be enough time to do it justice. So Stephanie was kind enough to agree to do a second show. So today we're going to just talk about what it's like to be the embroidery designer, creator in the fashion world, and what it's like during the a fashion week in Paris, for instance, and what that is. So we wanted to be able to give it enough justice and tell the story more so people can really appreciate what you go through, which must be at some point miserable. But that whole process of embellishing and doing the embroidery for haute couture. I've been practicing haute couture.
Yeah, haute couture.
Okay. Yeah, I better not try the French much more here. It's kind of so we're going to do that. So then there's three roles for you, but two primary roles. One is if you design the embroidery, and then the other is you're given a dress and an embroidery design to execute.
Yeah, that's correct.
So two different roles that happen both in a show or...
No, it's often if I work for a designer, I'm in the design house. Or if I work for an embroidery atelier, I'm an embroiderer.
Okay.
But sometimes in a design house, I've been asked to do the gown as well as the embroidery design.
Oh, okay. It just depends on what the design house wants when they hire you.
And who do I work for?
Yeah.
More.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take just the job of creating the embroidery, because that happens ahead of time, right?
So that's about 3 months before an haute couture show. So okay. Like for the January, we will start in September. And for the June, we will start in March, approximately.
Okay, so then a design house comes to you and says, I need embroidery design. And it's virtually all tambour or...
No, it depends what do they want.
Okay.
So if they want traditional, if they want modern, if they want light embroidery... If they want heavy embroidery, it's a mix, generally. A mix of traditional, which is kind of a silk shading, silk work, a bit of stem stitch and all of this, tambour always, and a bit sometimes of gold work.
Oh,
but
okay.
But not in the traditional way, in like a contemporary way. So you might be using the material of the gold work and interpreting them to make.
Okay, so take us through that process. So a design house says, I need some embroidery designed. They contact you. What information do they give you?
Not a lot.
Okay, well.
It depends. If they have a full brief, it all starts by a mood board, we call it, which is a couple of images and word and color panel as well. We have to have a color panel.
Okay.
This will change over the 3 months, but we have to have that kind of thing. And then it's often a brief. It can be a word or it can be an image. So like one time I just had, I want something rich and opulent.
So a designer would come to you and say rich and opulent?
Yeah. So no image, just word. So then me, I need to do my own research. But this is often in-house because you have to be in direct contact with a creative director, or you have to be, it can be remote, this work.
Okay.
They have to see the swatch, and so the embroidery, we call it a swatch. Do you know when we create the embroidery, it's
right.
called a swatch.
Mm-hmm.
But this is often in house, we do it.
Okay, so let me back up a little bit then. So somebody says, a designer that you're working for says, I need embroidery design that's rich and opulent.
Yeah.
And then you go to work defining what rich and opulent are in terms
so
of.
So I look at their past collection. I look at what they like. I ask a couple of questions, like to give them a bit more information. So I ask, is it floral? Do you want symmetric? Do you want grid? Do you want? So I ask a couple of questions as well to make it a bit more informative for me. So I know a bit more where I'm going. And then I start by research. So look at a lot of images online and artwork, and it could be architecture as well for the pattern.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, this kind of thing. And then I create my little mood board, which is a mood board is like a lot of images put together in the same kind of theme, if it makes sense.
Yes.
And then we start by drawing a lot. So I like to draw pencil, but now a lot of people draw computer.
Mm-hmm. So you're all right. So this is the very early. So you're just kind of defining what rich and opulent are, and coming up with examples, and putting them on a board, and then you go to you and the dress is not even been designed yet. I mean, is that right?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So sometimes we will have a sketch, which is just a couple of lines with a couple of color.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes no. Sometimes she's waiting to see the swatch to create the dress.
Okay, so you in this instance then, you are playing a major role in defining what the final garment will look like.
Yeah.
Wow, no pressure there, huh?
It's a lot of responsibility.
And then it's a collaborative thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of collaboration. Yeah.
Okay, so
and a lot of trying. So then from that, we start to draw. So I would start to draw a couple of, design. And then I will do my own selection of which one do I think she will like. And then I'll start to swatch. And then I start to show her, and then we will revise it.
Okay. So you're defining her vision of the dress to some degree, yet
she doesn't have a clear vision, yes.
Yeah. Yet she comes back to you and says, no, I don't like this. Let's go this way.
Yeah. If she does give me a clear brief, which is sometimes I can get a very clear one, which is I want an orchid floral, for example, in white and pink. So then I know exactly where am I going.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't know, I will have to do it myself.
Wow.
Does it make sense?
Oh, it makes sense. It makes sense. I'm just the embroidery part now playing in this path, playing a significant role in the design of very expensive clothing that is going to define the clothing designer's line for spring or fall. That's a lot. Wow.
Yeah. If they know what they want, and if you already have a sketch, you can see from the sketch what do they want.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a grid, you will see on the sketch and it's some line, if it makes sense. Or if it's a floral with light, you will see it on the sketch.
Yeah.
So it depends if they have a clear vision or if they don't.
Yes. And you don't know that when they approach you to
and
do the job, you don't know
they
what.
Don't know.
Yeah.
No.
So now
it's a design process. So sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And
Okay. So then do you, so, wow, this is, I did not realize you were at such the formative edge of of the, for simple terms, design of a dress. But you really are. And now, do you have some go-to embroidery patterns that you use as starting points, or do you try to start from a blank slate every time?
Blank slate, because it's a new collection. So
okay, so you don't want
you don't want
any repeat of any kind.
No.
Oh.
It will merge, you know, because some people have some style, you know. Mm-hmm. So like the style will still, you need to keep that in mind as well when you design is the style of the house. You know,
yes.
You cannot put something very contemporary with bulk material into something which is very feminine and light. So you have to keep that in mind when you design it. It's who do you work for and what are they like?
And so, and you've worked for multiple houses, so you have...
design process, not so much.
No, okay.
No. In embroidery, yes.
So you tend to stick with one house then?
Yeah.
For this kind, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so then is that then when you become the embroidery designer in a house, then that's a long-term thing? Is that you have to work there a long time before you even get to that level?
In Paris, yes. In London, no.
Oh.
So in London, I was there 3 months before I became in charge of the client and then designing on the collection. And in Paris, you have to be there a long time.
Like many years?
Yeah, like 5, 10.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Is that just a culture and history? It's the way we've always done it? No?
I think so, because I think in London, people give you opportunity and they see by your work than... In Paris, it's more by either the year of experience or, yeah, something like this, I think.
Hmm.
They won't give, like, someone which is very talented, not saying they are not, but a year experience, talented into switching because they probably don't think they can do it. Huh. Then in London, the opportunity, they will give it to you if you are talented.
Uh-huh. They don't need the years, they need the design. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you have worked in Paris then, how many houses have you done this work for?
None. None in Paris. No design. Only embroiderer. I was only an embroiderer.
Oh. But in London you've done design work.
Or what happened as well, it's when you create the swatch in Paris, it's not you creating it, it's the art worker.
Oh.
So the what we call an art worker, which is the one who draws a pattern,
mm-hmm.
you know, and engineers the pattern into the dress, they will be the one who draw all the swatches. And then the embroiderer will do it.
I see.
Yeah. But that, again, depends on which embroidery house do you work for.
Yeah, everybody has their way of doing things.
Yeah.
So you're collaborating on an embroidery design, and that may be something that goes on the bodice. It may be something that goes on the skirt, on the sleeves. That all has to be defined too then.
Yeah, but at a later stage, once the pattern is made.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And so when you settle on a pattern, then do you do the embroidery or are there people who do that?
So it depends, who do I work for? In the design, you know, when I made the swatch, no, because I need to make other swatch.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be someone else. So I pass that on, you know, into the embroidery team. But if I was in Paris, I would be the one doing it.
Okay, so in Paris you design and execute, and in London...
No, execute.
Go ahead.
Execute. So work on the panel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in London you pass that off to someone else.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. different role. It's very you know, you can be embroidery designer or an embroiderer, or what we call an embroiderer finishing touch. Just different role. It depends on what role are you engaged for that collection.
Okay. For and you hold that role for the entire collection for that show?
Yes, but at the end, I think everyone is under the finishing touch.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, when we get down to brass tacks, everybody's yeah. finishing. All hands on deck. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the designer then is the lead role then.
Yeah. So when you work with, you know, in embroidery design, you are in direct contact with either the head designer
mm-hmm.
or the creative director, depend, you know, the structure
yeah.
of the company. If the creative, if it's quite small, you can be directly in control with the creative director. If not, the creative director will give it to the head designer.
Okay.
And then head designer will dispatch between embroidery, print, and then designer.
Okay. Now I know the answer to this question is it depends. But when you are creating a design with the designer, is it for the most part a truly collaborative process, or do you find that designers will just look at it and say no, do something else, or yes, let's go with that? Or do you find that there's a lot of back and forth exchange between you and the designer?
A lot of back and forth, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of back and forth, because sometimes they will like the technique, but they will want it in a different color way,
mm-hmm.
for example. So then we have to do a different color way because it might not match, you know, the collection, or so it depends. And then often they also mix swatch together. So we make a couple of swatch. And then we mix all of them to make one
oh,
final
okay.
one.
Okay.
Yeah, but again, it depends.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, no, I expect that answer. It depends, because and clearly this is a fluid process. I mean, it's an art process, so
yeah.
It's not. It can't be rigid. There's no way it can be rigid.
But sometimes they do love it as it is.
Uh huh.
Yeah. They don't necessarily say no. It's no, but with changes. It's not a complete no, no.
Okay.
It's like we can, you know, take some of it.
Yeah.
Parts.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, are you, when you're doing this, when you create the swatches, I mean, are you doing some actual embroidery to show them, give them a sense of what it's going to look like, or is it all drawings and
No, embroidery, but small. So like I'm an A5.
Mm-hmm.
A5, and then if they want to see a bigger swatch, I'll just create a bigger artwork and pass this on to someone else.
Yeah, okay.
Because I need to make the new ID.
Right.
Because basically the point is to make a lot of ID at the beginning.
Okay.
That's the point. It's like create a lot of ID and then hopefully the collection will run smoothly.
Yeah. Okay, so that's interesting. So how far in that role then do you follow that all the way till the garment, the dress is created? I mean, do you?
No. So up to once the swatch is confirmed. So once, by that we mean the shape, the material, the colorway. So up to when the embroidery is confirmed, and then I pass this on to the art worker, we call.
Mm-hmm.
Which they will enter from that A5 swatch into the full gown.
Okay.
So it depends if it's only on the corset or if it's on the wool skirt, they will engineer the artwork.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So and then you're on working on something else then.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But then, so then they do the artwork, and then after the embroiderer does it, which is what I do in Paris, I do the embroidery at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it's passed on to the sewing, seamstress, and then we finish it after.
Okay.
But as well, me, it's also, I'm at the same time than the pattern cutter. So for a client, for example, my swatch has to be ready at the same time than the toile.
Okay.
What we call a toile, which is the pattern of the dress, pattern cutting. Yeah. Because once both of them are confirmed, then it's passed on to the artwork.
Okay.
So it's at the same time than the, and the pattern cutter starts once they have the sketch of the dress.
Okay. And you have to have your part ready when that pattern cutter starts.
It's complete.
Yes. Yes. Oh boy. And in general, you have about 3 months to make all of this happen.
No, that's about two for us. Between
2 months.
Six weeks average.
Okay.
Because don't forget, you need to go into the artwork and then embroidery and then sieve dress and then finishing.
So we need 4 weeks plus just for that to happen.
Yes, yeah, 6 weeks, I would say. But it overlaps sometime up to 4 weeks before.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can imagine the overlaps and the late nights of
The addition, what we call addition as well. Which is another look which come up, you know. We don't know where it's coming from, but it's there.
Yeah, yeah. And so we have a different approach. It's interesting to me that there's a different approach, distinct approach, difference between Paris and London.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's just culture and history?
Yeah, I think so, and more organized in terms of Heidi and, you know. I think Paris designers are a lot more organized.
More organized in Paris, okay.
Yeah, because... Yeah, everything is all settled and is no changes.
Oh.
So like the theme is given, you know, the colorway is given, everything is given. And like embroidery house, the art worker starts 2 weeks before, 2 months before the show to design the swatch.
Mm-hmm.
And then the embroiderer, depending again which embroidery house you are on, but the one I work on, the artwork decides every single material and how to stitch them and all of this. And then the embroiderer does the swatch exactly as the artwork created it.
Mm-hmm.
But then artwork also go to see the swatch and make some changes because maybe it wasn't their vision, you know, when they designed it.
Yeah.
Because they designed on paper, so...
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And then, so that's sent to the design house 5-4 weeks before, no, 6 weeks before the show, and then after he has to be chosen by the designer and confirm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of on pins, and once you send it, you're kind of on pins and needles until you get close to the show. Then
about 4 weeks we start to get the look, what we call the look, 4 weeks before the show in Paris.
Okay.
So, but don't forget, it's a big team. So, like, we can make a lot happen in a short term.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, are we talking about a lot of people or just a handful? So, it's a lot of people involved then.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, on one, it depends how many panel is in a dress.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in the corset, for example, in the top, it can be, I don't know, 10 panels. So, you can be, like, 15 on it. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can frame one panel per frame and be two on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or more, depending on the size of the panel and the frame. So if the frame is about 1 meter, you can be two. If the frame is 2 or 3 meter, you can be 4 or 5.
Oh.
Depend, you know. Yeah, depend.
Okay, so now I see how you can turn things around rather quickly. Yeah.
So a look can be done in a week, you know, in mm-hmm. an embroidery atelier in Paris because you are 25, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you also have what we call the accessorize, which comes the last week before the show.
The accessorize part. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, my. So then... This fascinates me because what this is saying to me is the people who are directing all the activity really have to be highly skilled in several areas.
Yeah.
Color, art, embroidery. I mean, they have to understand how these things get put together and whether they're even possible to direct people. So that's okay. So I guess I can start to see why they want you to be around 10 or 15 or 20 years in Paris before you get to the head spot. I guess I can see that, but if you have talent, you have talent. Why hold it back?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Boy, what a world. What a world. All right. So let's take us up to a show. Let's go, say, a week before the show. What is life like then?
Then, depending on who is it for.
Yeah.
If it's Paris, a week before the show, all the embroidery are still on the frame, I would say. Not all of them, not all the look, but a few look are still on the frame. So then we need to work about, depend which atelier, but 12, 15 hours a day to make it happen. And then it starts to really get a bit what we call odd. If the dresses are not finished like 3-4 days before the show, that starts to get a bit like, we are not sure if it's going to make it.
Okay, all right, so let's back up. When you say that they're on the frame, what does that mean to us?
We still work on it. So we still not work on it, on the embroidery, and that means that once we finish it, the seamstress still have to make it.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Because don't forget that we work on, especially in Paris, we work on garments which are not already made. We work on flat panel, and then they need to be made.
Oh, okay. So you're within a week of the show, and these dresses have yet to even be.
Yeah.
The seamstress still hasn't done his or her work then.
No, but they can do a lot in well, very short term.
I appreciate that, but
I mean, what can they do is, well, sometime 2 days before the show is still there, and I'm like, I don't know how they're going to make it, but they do. They're amazing.
Oh, the sewing machines must fly. Oh, geez. That's so then you.
It's a lot of hand stitch as well.
Say that again.
It's a lot of hand stitch because some fabrics, some material, you cannot pass them under the sewing machine.
Oh.
So it's a lot of hand stitch as well.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I think it's just there are a lot of people.
But a lot of highly skilled people, though.
Yeah.
What a world. This is a much bigger world in terms of sheer people than I ever imagined. I mean, if you've got that many people for each design house, this is, holy smokes.
But there is a lot of people who are temporary as well.
Yeah.
So like me, I only come, especially in Paris, I only come 2 or 3 weeks before the show. And then I'm going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of, so like the team will double up the week or two before the show.
Okay. So then if you do the embroidery design way up front 3 months ago, months early, then you go to the show too, or does that depend on the house?
Depend on the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you may do some design and not even see the final piece till the show.
No, yeah, I won't.
yeah. But then I've
got to find where it is, because sometimes it's underneath like a coat or, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to find it as well, and sometimes it's a bit tricky.
Yeah.
Because embroidery can be small, you know?
Yeah.
And intricate, and if it's under something, we won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So from picture, you know, because I look at the catwalk picture after, and I've got to find it.
Yeah, yeah. So then, take me through the like I said, the week before and the show. If you're doing the embroidery and you're involved in the finishing. It's just do whatever you're told by the lead person.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
But then if it depend if I was designing, like the one I designed, sometime I could add, you know, 3D petal or all of this, depend of which one do I work for. So if, for example, in Paris, I'm mainly finishing and do what I've been told. Which is nice because, like, you know, I run my own business and I lack some time just to be told what to do, really.
Right, right. Yeah. No, I know that feeling. Yeah, you don't have to worry about whether it's right or wrong. You just you just do it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't need to think.
Yeah. So then.
I don't need to worry when it's finished on time because that's not me managing it.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. You're not the one.
I just work as fast as I can and the hours when they ask me to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's almost relaxing then. Yeah, just go to work. So then there must be, as you get to these shows and get into show week, now, and that's finishing, fitting to models, that whole process, so, that's got to be just maddening.
Yeah. So we are not involved in this at all because that's a seamstress and the designer. Mm-hmm. Embroiderer rarely go to the fitting.
Okay.
We will fix once, you know, they decide what need to be changed. We will need to fix it, but we won't be in the fitting.
Okay. But you have to be within a few minutes reach.
Yeah.
So you might have some shows where you don't have to do very much and other shows where you're just...
We do a lot all the time.
Okay.
Because as well, you have backstage sometime where things can drop or... So that backstage is the day before the... Well, mm-hmm. not the day before the show, like a couple of hours before the show, really. Sometime need to be finishing up or sometime things, you know, need to be repaired or... Yeah. Which, yeah, something as well.
So the day of the show and while the show is going on, everyone is on edge for anything that could go wrong.
It depends if you went smoothly, how late they were.
Yeah.
Again, in Paris, it's usually pretty smooth. In London, not so.
Okay. So are designers... really on the edge and really tense and nervous on the day of a show? Or are they, it sounds like the Paris people are pretty calm and everything is in order.
Yeah, depending which one.
Yeah.
How do they like to work as well? Because some people like to be, you know, relaxed and then it's finished 48 hours before the show. But some people like just to be finished 5 minutes before.
I couldn't.
And
deal
then it
with that.
Depends what do they add on as well, because sometimes they add some hat or some shoes or some bag. So then once you finish your dress, you need to move on to the accessories.
And do you get involved in that or?
If it's embroidery, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's embroidery. Yeah. So yeah.
So you might be doing some embroidery on a purse or?
Yeah. Or shoes. Like they like shoes.
Oh, yes. That's right. Shoes. Yes, I forget about the shoes. Shoes mean a lot more to women than they do to men, I think.
Yeah.
Shoes are something I just wear. You guys, it's a fashion statement.
Yeah.
Well, that's and embroidering
because
on shoes.
Yeah, because they will want to have the same embroidery than on the, you know, on the dress, on the shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got to match. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That must be a challenge, embroidering on shoes?
No, because we usually do it flat and then mount it on the shoes.
Oh, okay.
We can't really do on the shoes, depending which embroidery is it, but it's usually done on the tulle or, and then mounted on the shoes.
Oh, okay. Of course. So you have the shoe made. All right. That makes sense.
Yeah, because the shoes is made. Don't forget that also they design the shoes and they have to be done and, you know.
Yeah.
So when they decide on they want to embroider on the shoes, they will be already made, unless it's a bespoke.
Yeah.
Shoe.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless it all depends, and unless this, and unless that. Oh my word! So is for you in general during a show, is that kind of a relaxed celebration type thing to see the final product go down the runway?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, then it's complete and it's going on the runway, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I assume that the deep breath of relaxation happens after the model gets off the runway. So that dress is done. We don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But if for example, in Paris, we often finish 2 days before, so, or a day, depend, a day or 48 hours before. So then we can relax. And then it's just a seamstress finishing it because, you know, it's nothing last minute. Depend which show.
Yeah, depends. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So what is when it gets to the finishing part? What does that entail? What is all?
Okay. Finishing mean all the seams. If the seam didn't match or if there was a problem into the seam need to be filled.
Okay.
With the embroidery.
Oh.
It doesn't happen a lot. Like usually they do match, but if there was, the seams need to be matched. If there is some addition, like feather or 3D petal or flower, you know, into the embroidery.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a last minute, like I say, accessorize or, you know, a last minute, flowers, brushes, you know, little brooch.
Brooch, yep.
Yeah, so that's all the last minute.
Yeah. Huh.
But in terms of finishing, it's the seams really mainly.
That's the
and
main.
And then the addition, like feather or petal, 3D petal or flower, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then we need to add on.
Yeah. Are models at these shows, are the models basically living mannequins, or I mean, there's certainly personality there, but in that role, I mean, do they just kind of stand there and let people put things on them and adjust them?
You have the what we call the fitting mannequin, which is there to try the dress on and for us to see if it look good.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the show mannequin, which is a different role, and that they will go on the runway then. So they can be the same, but often they are not. So it's like a fitting mannequin, we call, where it's someone to try the dress on and to see what it look like. And then the casting will come on like 48 or 72 hours before the show, where they will choose all the mannequin and which dress do they wear.
Okay, because, yeah, I've seen that on some shows where it seems sense. Like the designer will say, this dress goes on this model.
Yeah. So that's the casting, and that's 72 to 48 to 24 hours, between 72 and 24 hours,
yeah.
Basically.
So then that is a real thing, then. That's not just a movie thing. That's a real thing I want this dress on this model because she shows it best.
Yeah, so if you work on the dress, on the casting day is always quite tricky because the dress will be taken away from you for a couple of hours for the model to try it on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will bring back the dress to you to finish it off.
Okay.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they need to allocate all the dresses to the model. But often you always have one, what we call fitting model, which is there in the atelier or with the designer to try the dress if we need to.
Okay. So that person is just there just to have somebody to hang a dress on, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see if it's going to work. But then at the show, then that's when it gets properly fitted to that model.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So there is always some changes last minute.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's little adjustments here and there, so it looks exactly right. Yes, yeah, fascinating world, fascinating. and so when you at a show, are you in the audience or do you stay behind in the backstage?
It depends which. Depends which stage. I'm sorry. Again, I did go in a couple of shows in the audience, but it's not as often in the past 5 years. I think it's restricted. So backstage sometime, but not at every show. And often, no at all. No, we don't.
Yeah. Do you prefer to be in the audience or backstage?
I prefer to not be there, to be honest.
Pardon me?
I prefer to not be there.
You prefer, oh, not be there at all. Okay.
Because don't forget, we didn't sleep a lot
Yeah.
in the past couple of days, so we need to sleep.
Yeah. 'Cause yeah, you were telling me last time we talked that
Yeah, I was
the last show
just
you did, you put in 100 hours in a week. Oh.
It was London Fashion Week.
Yeah. And I assume that that's a hundred hours and at all hours of the day.
Yeah, it's increasing slowly. So, like, for example, that week, Monday we finish at like 8, and then Tuesday it's 9, and then Wednesday it's 9, and then Thursday it's like 11. You know, it's slowly increasing. And then 3 days before the show, it might be 2 a.m., and then the day before the show, it might be like, don't know, 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., and then the especially in London, the day before the show is overnight, often an overnight.
Oh, these London people need to get their act together. You don't have to agree with me. It's okay. You can just have no comment there. But it sounds like the London show would just make you tired.
I do think that we are not as much in Paris because I think the seamstress will do overnight in the Paris show. But the embroiderer, I think they have some seamstress or someone there already who knows how to do it. Don't forget that the embroiderer ateliers are kind of a supplier.
Okay.
Yeah, so yes, some are part of the house, but they are not in the atelier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think they will have some embroiderer there who will do the overnight,
Okay.
if it
Okay.
makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so then after the show
Because
is, go ahead.
if we deliver a dress 48 hours before the show in Paris, there's no way they won't do another night. You know, it has to be done. So they will do it. It's just the embroidery kind of supplier won't do it.
Oh. Okay.
It's the people in-house.
Yeah. How many dresses, if we have a collection, say a month before the show, how many dresses? I assume that not all the dresses make the show, if you will, that they get cut. Is that normal to cut a bunch of them or just a few?
Usually it's
Okay.
a few because I think in the past now couple of years there has been better in terms of not canceling some look. If it makes sense, because people work on it, so you don't want to cancel too many.
Yeah.
So I think in the past couple of years there has been better in terms of
Better
what you,
at making sure that what you work on makes the show.
exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 'cause that would be an incredible waste.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. But I imagine that some designers get within a week or so of the show and there's a dress they just can't get comfortable with.
It's more. No, it's more actually addition, I would say.
Oh. Oh.
It's more than something wasn't planned.
And then so this one
So,
more then.
yeah, it's more this, I think, than consolation.
So okay, all right. So yeah, I've got this one. All right, let's make this one happen. Hurry up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now after a show is over, then are you do you focus on getting pictures of your embroidery for your just for your records, or at
No,
that
we
point
can't do that.
you can't, oh,
Yeah,
you
we
can't.
no. So we are. I will look into the Vogue magazine and official magazine to get the picture, you know, of the work I work on just for my own, but we cannot get the embroidery because that's their copyright.
Oh. Oh, so you turn all over all rights to it then.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So now these days, with your own business, How does your business fit into that? Do they are you on someone's short list to call when they need help?
Yeah, but I did cut down a lot because I can't do as many shows anymore because I want to work on my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have a couple of people that I block the week for, you know, that I know I will go.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the time I just work on my own thing.
Okay. So you've really cut back on how much you do.
Yeah, I did cut down a lot on the design because, as I told you, or as I mentioned, we don't own the copyright. So I prefer now to create as an art mm-hmm. than create for a fashion designer.
Yeah.
But sometime, again, you've got to balance it out because you've got to have some work at some point.
Right.
So some months, some years, I will probably go back to the embroidery, to the design, just, you know, to balance it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah.
I assume you're at a point in your career where you can just, in those years, you can just simply raise your hand and say, hey, I'm available if you need me. And people will call you.
Yeah.
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 I can see why it's got to be a fun world to operate in for a while, but then it must, you know, after a few years, just
run out as well. It's like if I do this all the time, I run out of ID.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So I've got to have a couple of months of break, even a year or two sometimes, just to keep, refreshing the ID, because you have to have an ID all the time and it can be very draining sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was getting to. It's just got to be exhausting.
Yeah.
If you keep doing it year after year after year for a long time, yeah, you just run out of gas. Yeah. Hmm. And so I mean, obviously you've shifted your business and your activities over to what you're doing now, creating art, embroidery, and developing classes and those kinds of things. Do you find that it's clearly a more relaxed pace? Do you find that you are more creative now than you were when you were doing fashion shows all the time?
Yes, but I'm kind of limited of the material, if it makes sense. Because all the material are quite expensive in terms of the Swarovski and, you know, which kind of fabric sometimes to use.
Mm-hmm.
So I find this a bit tricky. Before, I could just use whatever I wanted, you know, in the design. And here, in my own practice, I've got to really think of what do I use to make it more accessible and all of this. So, and as well, I don't have a huge stock, you know, like I used to in the design house. So this is a bit more tricky. I'm getting better now at it, but it did take a bit of adapting.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, because I can see that in a design mm-hmm. house for the high level of fashion, whatever you need to make it look like we want it to look.
Yeah.
And now when you create a design, you have to create it with something that people can actually buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like things like, I remember a material which we had this Swarovski mesh, you know, which is a Swarovski in a mesh. And I'm like, well, this, I can't use it in my own practice.
Mm-hmm.
But I did really like it at the time. It's just little things like this, you know, where I have to really rethink it.
Yeah.
Which now it's a bit better because I have been away from this world for about 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm slowly, you know, getting back to, I would say, gas. Like you said, you know, I'm starting to get back all the ID and how to, which is exciting, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, the adjustments you have to make. That's fascinating. Yeah. Oh, well, Stephanie, this is what I wanted. I wanted to learn about, get a little insight into that world because it's much more than I imagined. I didn't think there was that much to it. Mm-hmm. And of course that's just the embroidery side, you know,
don't forget it's the same with the print, you know, print need to be developed.
Yep.
And print is the same because I had a friend which was a print designer and it's the same time all the designer are at the same time. You know, you have embroidery, print, textile, weave, you know, 3D.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Has computers obviously have helped that? Do you?
Yeah, the software. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But even in your research, I mean, you said you would go online and search for ideas.
Pinterest. Thanks for that.
Oh, okay. Pinterest is it. Yeah. Huh? All right.
Yeah, I like, so me, for inspiration, I like jewelry a lot in terms of shape and color. And like I say, I like kind of the architectural, which is a grid or, you know, like for pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Pinterest.
So that's interesting. So Pinterest, which at least in my mind is, you know, just a place to collect things, but it serves a real function for you then.
Yeah, for me it's like research.
Okay, all right. I see that. Yeah. A valuable tool then.
Yeah. And then you've got all the other software like Photoshop and Illustrator, which can, you know, you can just, if you do a little A5 swatch, you can just multiply it and you have a vision already.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to make the whole thing, you know, you can just make it bigger.
Right.
And yeah, that helps in terms of getting the vision.
Yeah. But still, for you, sitting down and drawing something out is...
I prefer a pen and a pencil and a tray, paper.
Old school.
I prefer, because I use computer a lot in terms of making the instruction and, you know, all of this. So I like also to be away from the computer.
Yeah, yeah. Just put your feet up with a sketch pad and just draw.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Let your mind work. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. That was fun.
We enjoyed it.
learned a lot. Yeah. Learned a lot. And I can see now why you do the business the way you do it now.
Just, thank you.
Yeah. More sane world. Yes. Yep. All right, Stephanie. Thank you. Thanks to everybody for listening.